Welcome to Afterglow. I'm your host, David Brent Johnson, and this time around on the program, I'll be featuring a new CD from one of jazz's most prominent male vocalists and getting his thoughts on the music and jazz in general as well. It's dedicated to you, Kurt Elling, coming up next on Afterglow.
Gosh, what a thrill each time I kiss her. I've got a case of Nancy with a laughing face. She takes the winter, makes it summer. Summer could take some lessons from her. Picture a tomboy in lace. That's Nancy with a laughing face. Did you ever hear? Well, she'll give you the very same glow. When she speaks, you would think it was singing just to hear say hello. I swear to goodness, you can't resist her. Sorry for you, she has no sister. No angel could replace my Nancy with a laughing face. Could replace my with a levee.
Kurt Elling from his new Concord CD dedicated to you, singing Nancy with the Laughing Face. David Brent Johnson here with you on Afterglow, and this time around on the program I'll be featuring music from Kurt Elling's latest release, Dedicated to You, a tribute to a couple of classic early 1960s John Coltrane ballad records. Ever since emerging from the 1990s Chicago jazz scene to sign with Blue Note Records, Elling has steadily built both his audience and his media following. For the last 3 years, he's won the Critics' Poll for Best Male Singer in both Downbeat and Jazz Times magazine. His work has drawn on influences and elements such as scatting and vocalese, American popular song and more contemporary American pop, poetry, and beat literature, the latter by way of another strong influence, singer Mark Murphy. Elling didn't start out to be a jazz singer. Although he sang in church and school choirs, he was pursuing an academic path, attending grad school in the early 1990s, when he somewhat simultaneously realized that he wasn't perhaps cut out for the academic life, and that jazz singing might be his calling instead. A demo he sent to Blue Note Records ended up netting him a contract, and the string of recordings he made for them between 1995 and 2003 cemented his reputation. Night Moves, a concept CD with a narrative arc, and his first for the Concord label, came out in 2007 and seemed to mark a new creative period in Plateau, an album that might be hard for some artists to follow up. I asked Elling how his new CD fits into the overall trajectory of his career.
I didn't really expect to make a record like this. I didn't expect to make a record with strings. I didn't expect to make a record based on so explicitly on somebody else's work. But I got a call from our friends at the Chicago Jazz Festival a couple of years ago to just basically be do a one-night double bill with Josh Redman. Josh was going to do the Africa Brass material, which, of course, is really wild and boisterous, and they wanted an intelligent B-side that was train-related, and so they gave me a call, and I was happy to do the gig, of course, but right away I said, well, you know, let me see if there's some way that I can do it without simply reiterating that record. So I had been working with a guy named Jim Galloretto at the time, and he was doing arrangements, jazz arrangements, for string quartet and tenor saxophone, and I had actually been on his record. And I had a very good experience with that, and I said, well, let's just grab the string quartet. We'll get Jim to write a couple things. I'll get Lawrence to write a couple things. We only had about 1 month to pull this thing together, and they both did a fabulous job, and we had Ari Brown on that very first concert of this music. But because it was such a success with the audience and such a success with the festival, there happened to be some people from other festivals who were there at the concert, and they right away tapped me on the shoulder. Hey, can we get that? And I said, well, sure, we can do that a couple more places if you want. And every time we'd perform it someplace, we'd get two or three more promoters saying, hey, can we get a little taste of that? Why don't you come over to where we are? And it grew and grew over time until we ended up doing it at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and that was when the label finally heard it.
If I should write a book for you, that brought me fame and fortune too, that book would be like my heart, my soul and me. dedicated to you. If I should paint a picture too that showed the loveliness and the brilliance of you, that art would be like my heart and me. Dedicated to you, to you. Because your love is the beacon that lights up my way to you, because with you I know a lifetime could be just one heavenly day. If I should find one twinkling star, one half as wondrous as you are, that star would be like my heart and me. Dedicated, dedicated to you.
Kurt Elling singing Dedicated to You, the title track from his new Concord CD, a tribute to two monumental early 1960s albums that saxophonist John Coltrane recorded, John Coltrane and Johnny Hartman, and Ballads. I asked Elling why these albums have had such an enduring appeal for listeners.
Well, I think in part because they're ballads records, and because of Train's incredible sound, because of, you know, because even when he plays that stuff, you hear his devotion to the search, the grand kind of transcendental search that he was on. So even though he's playing beautiful, tender, romantic ballads, the intensity that is behind that is audible and palpable in the way that he plays. And then you couple that with the kind of emotional honesty and the very just straight up beautiful sound of Johnny Hartman's voice and the pretty straightforward arrangements of things, and you have something that people are going to be able to understand, comprehend, sing along with pretty much right away, and that makes that's a big deal for a jazz record.
That falling in love is wonderful, is wonderful, so they say. The thing that's known as romance is wonderful, it's wonderful, so they tell me. I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If there's a moon up above, it's wonderful, wonderful in every way. So they say. Without any warning, you find
finding yourself shouting that love is grand. To hold that girl in your arms, wonderful, wonderful, in every way, every way, in every way. So please say,
Kurt Elling and They Say It's Wonderful from his new Concord CD, Dedicated to You, a tribute to John Coltrane's album with vocalist Johnny Hartman and his Ballads record done around the same time for the Impulse label in the early 1960s. Over the years, some have suggested that John Coltrane was pressured to do these records by Impulse as a move to put commercially appealing material into the marketplace on the heels of his earlier adventurous outings with Eric Dolphy. These suggestions have never really been backed up by any evidence, and Elling takes umbrage at the notion that John Coltrane would let anybody strong-arm him into making a record he didn't want to do.
I certainly wouldn't mind selling a million records, doing, you know, playing exactly the music that I wanted to play. And I would say, in response to anybody who wanted to pull some chicanery about, you know, oh, well, Train was made to do this so that he could do the other, you know, in the first place, life is like that. And even on the most devoted crusade of emotional honesty and instrumental virtuosity, there are prices to be paid along the way. And you shouldn't be vibing John Coltrane, of all people, for a price that he may or may not have had to pay so that a year later he could make A Love Supreme and the record label could put it out. In the third place, I don't know of any situation where Train didn't play exactly what he agreed to play. I mean, I don't think anybody could have told Train, we want you to do this, and if he didn't want to do it, he would still do it. That doesn't seem plausible to me in any way.
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with distonguee traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock days. Then you came along with your siren song to tempt me to madness. For a while, that your poignant smile was tinged with the sadness of a great love for me. Yet I was wrong again. I was wrong. And only last year, everything seemed so sure. Now life is awful again. A trough full of hearts could only be a bore. admit I just can't smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. Romance is mush, stifling those who strive. I will live a lush life in some small. While I rot with the rest of those whose lives are lonely.
Kurt Elling performing Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life from his new CD, Dedicated to You. Kurt Elling sings the music of Coltrane and Hartman. I'll have more music and conversation from Kurt Elling in just a few moments. Production support for Afterglow comes from Bicycle Garage, founded in downtown Bloomington and offering complete bicycle repair, sales, and custom fitting services. On Kirkwood next to the IU campus, Bicycle Garage, for bicycling around the block and around the world since 1980. I'm David Bren Johnson, and you're listening to Afterglow. Playing music from singer Kurt Elling's new CD, Dedicated to You, on this edition of Afterglow, as well as excerpts from a recent phone interview that I did with him. The CD, which features Elling and longtime collaborator and pianist Lawrence Hobgood doing some classic John Coltrane ballad material with a string quartet and saxophonist Ernie Watts, grew out of a series of live performances, culminating in a Monterey Jazz Festival appearance that caught the ears of Elling's label, Concord Records. They asked Elling if he'd be willing to record a CD of the show. And he agreed, though with some qualification.
They said, well, if we're really going this far, then we really would like to record this. Would that be okay? And I said, well, you know, let's see about that for a minute. Because, as you say, the trajectory of my thing has been always to be pushing the envelope, always to be trying to take the past and push it into the future. And in most ways, I think this recording falls into that. You know, we're not just reiterating. We're not just copying. You know, if you were to A-B the two sides, you know, I would say anybody who is looking for a reiteration or to compare what we've done to Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane's work, and to anybody who wants to just hear that record, they should put that record on. It's a great record. It's one of the best known jazz recordings of all time, and they should have that. But if they want innovation based on a love of the tradition and based upon a love for that which has come before us, then you're going to want to hear what we've done to it. And in that way, I think it fits squarely into what we have been trying to do all along. And when I say we, I mean Lawrence Hobgood and myself.
That sweet expression, the smile you gave me, it's easy to remember. Or is it? A poetic jazz memory. It's March of 1963. In mid-morning New Jersey, two musicians drive through the snowbound suburban landscape on their way to a recording session. One, an intensely dedicated musical explorer, has of late been studying the way singers breathe and hopes he will hear Frank Sinatra on the radio so he can consider one more notion before the session. The other, an experienced song stylist, wonders whether he'll ever hear his own voice over the airwaves. The two men met only last week and have only played a few pieces together, the singer sitting in informally at a club in Manhattan. The singer is a little concerned that the band was going to break into some of the wild stuff he's heard them play. But the band leader, a gentle and positive man, will be going for something altogether different on this occasion. Something wholly sympathetic to the sound the singer has. The two are joking and smoking and talking about the songs they will record today. They carry no charts and have made no formal musical arrangements or even had a real rehearsal. Everyone at the session will know the tunes already, each man having performed them in 100 different contexts. No one at the session will need to be told what to do or what to play. The band is so well acquainted that any mood that needs to be established will come naturally. As the cats in the car talk about what is to come, over the car's radio comes Nat Cole singing Lush Life. Though he doesn't know all the words, out of fun, the singer joins in anyway, and the two add one more tune to the set list. When they get to the studio, they end up recording it in one take. In fact, they do everything in one take. Almost the entire record, except You Are Too Beautiful, where they do a second take because of a dropped drumstick. In 3 or 4 hours, they're done. Laughter, handshakes, a long drive home. Just a year or so later, John Coltrane will go on to the highest artistic peaks, leading this same band in the creation of Crescent and A Love Supreme, arguably the defining works of his career and among the most beloved and respected in the history of recorded music. Although Johnny Hartman will go on to make some great ballad records after this one, including some attempting to echo the magic of the one he makes with Train, most go unnoticed upon their release. Broad fame will elude Hartman until well after his death. But we remember them both. We're jazz people. And for us, it's easy.
Kurt Elling doing It's Easy to Remember, a song that John Coltrane recorded for his early 1960s Impulse record, Ballads. Elling adding his own poetic narrative about Coltrane and Johnny Hartman driving to do their record date for Impulse, one that has inspired Elling's new tribute CD, Dedicated to You. That last track, with Elling's spoken interpolation of a casual but now historical day in recording session, prompted me to ask him about the weight of the music's past greatness on present-day performers such as him.
I think that the artist's job at this point is to revere the tradition, to love it, to respect it, to take care of it, but that the way that you take care of it and the way that you respect it is through further innovation. The way that you revere innovation, the innovations of the past, is by trying to play something that nobody's played before, based on the research and the intelligent listening that you've done of the great things that have come before you. And that's just our job. And if you're coherent in your artistic statement, if you are sincere in your intention, and if you are, I guess, appealing, if you have been given a gift of a voice or a sound on an instrument, or you develop such a thing, and you're a writer, and there's a new thing for you to, I mean, there is a new thing to say. It's 2009, and the thing that we need to keep from falling into is just nostalgia, or just such a reverence for the jazz past that it just becomes a museum piece, and then it does not become relevant anymore. But because jazz is always about, in its most real incarnation, jazz is about the thing that has not yet been played. That is the definition of our music, of this genre. And in existing in that space, then it means that we are responding to not just the past of the music, not just the history of recordings. We're responding to what it feels like to live in 2009. And what are our worries? I mean, that's what bebop was responding to. What did it feel like? What did it sound like to live in New York and Chicago, mostly, in 1950s? What did it sound like to live in a crowded, noisy, urban environment with taxi horns and brakes and trains and so many people and a great cosmopolitan atmosphere and, you know, all these different influences coming and going, and the rapid nature of commerce and conversation, and everything was picking up steam, and it was just after World War. I mean, that's what it sounded like to jazz artists. Now the question is, what does the world sound like to jazz artists right now? And that's what we're going for. Even when I do a tribute record, a so-called tribute record, to me, it's still vital to say to myself, well, we're here now, we're not there, and what does this music sound like if we base our arrangements on what we hear and what we feel?
Love, there is no in between.
and cry for something that might have been. No, I'd rather have nothing at all. So please don't bring those lips so close to my cheek. Don't smile or I'll be lost beyond recall. Look in your eyes and the touch of your lips makes me weak, and my heart may grow dizzy and fall. And if I fell under the spell of your call, there's every chance that I'd be caught in the undertow. So you see, I've gotta say no, no, or nothing at all.
Kurt Elling and All or Nothing at All from his new CD, Dedicated to You. Though Night Moves and now Dedicated to You have won Elling a wider following, and though he feels that he's a much better singer and artist today than he was 10 years ago, he remains proud of his 1990s work for the Blue Note label, citing one album in particular as a good example of his early Chicago period sound.
The Messenger is pretty good. It, certainly the first half of it is quite profound, and then it has good elements throughout. But, you know, When I look, a lot of, I don't listen. First of all, I don't listen back very much because I tend to be disappointed, just because I know how much more I'm able to do now as a singer and as an improviser and as a musician. So I just hear my mistakes. So I wouldn't want to point people toward my mistakes. But at the same time, there, you know, there's great stuff back there, man. There's great arrangement of Nature Boy and April in Paris. And there's Ballad of the Sad Young Men, and there's some spoken word stuff, and you know, it's a lot more raw, and I think that's a good thing. That's the stuff that comes straight out of Chicago, all that raw energy.
There was a boy, a certain strange, enchanted boy. They said he traveled very far. Very far over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, one magic day, he came my way. And as we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said. Certain strange enchanted boy. They said he traveled very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, one magic day, he came my way. And as we spoke of many things, and kings, this he said to me, the greatest joy you will ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. So Certain strange enchanted boy, he said he traveled very far over land and sea. Little giant said, oh boy, but very wise was he. And then one day, one magic day, he came my way. As we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest joy you will ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. To mama,
Kurt Elling performing Nature Boy from his 1997 Blue Note CD, The Messenger. Kurt Elling grew up singing in church and school choirs and entered the Divinity School at the University of Chicago, majoring in philosophy of religion. While in Chicago, he found his calling as a jazz singer, but one who has carried his earlier interest into his career. I ended my interview with Elling by reading him a quote from jazz historian Ted Gioia, who had words of high praise for the singer on the jazz.com website. He cites you as one of his favorite younger generation jazz vocalists, and he says, he sounds like a man who has found a higher love than the kind written about in pop songs, some sort of Zen insight into human relations, a Plato's Symposium squeezed into a jazz standard. Have you heard that quote before?
I don't know if I don't think I have. That's a whole lot to put on my shoulders.
I know. Well, I know. But I just wanted to ask, how has your background, your earlier background in religious studies and philosophy, influenced how you see yourself as a jazz artist? Because it kind of sounds to me like Ted Gioia is kind of hitting upon something there that I thought maybe is tied in a little bit to that.
Well, it's always a question of which thing came first. It isn't so much that I have questions about transcendent issues because I went to graduate school. It's I had questions about transcendent issues, and therefore I had to go to graduate school. So, you know, the work that I did as a graduate student certainly, I hope, gave me an ability to articulate my thoughts a little bit more clearly, and it certainly taught me to write better, I hope, and it provided me an exposure to conversations, both spoken and written, conversations happening through the front line of philosophical discussion that I would not have had otherwise. And it helped me to come to an understanding, to come to terms, to agree with myself about what I think about what's happening here. And in that way, it has been very valuable. And anything that affects you deeply, that comes to you in your life, is going to move you in a certain direction as an artist in terms of the things that you choose, the way that you choose them, the relative level of compassion that you have for yourself and for your musicians and for your audience, the understanding that you have of yourself. Anything that comes around is that you're open to is going to move you and change you.
Of you makes my heart sing like an April breeze on the wind. and you appear in all your splendor. Feel your lips so warm and tender. Sets my soul afire. I give myself in sweet surrender. My one and only
close with Kurt Elling performing My One and Only Love from the Concord CD, dedicated to you. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Afterglow. Special thanks to Kurt Elling, Nate Sutton, and Brenda McNellan. Production support for Afterglow comes from Bicycle Garage, founded in downtown Bloomington and offering complete bicycle repair, sales, and custom fitting services on Kirkwood next to the IU campus Bicycle Garage. We're bicycling around the block and around the world since 1980. You can hear many previous Afterglow programs and new playlists on our website at wfiu.org/afterglow. Our engineer is Kevin Evans, and I'm David Brent Johnson, hoping that you'll join us again for more jazz, ballads, and American popular song on Afterglow.